Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 12 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. James is here once again to talk about all things Star Wars, and we've got a whole lot of stuff to talk about once again. So, James, how you doing, my friend?
Doing excellent, Kyle. How you doing?
I am doing super, and I had a revelation this weekend, and I don't think anybody's ever going to disagree with me, but the power of an afternoon nap cannot be undersold or overstated.
Ha, you're preaching to the choir, my friend.
Holy shit, man. We had a pretty busy weekend, and I didn't get a ton of sleep on Saturday night. I had some allergy issues, and I just didn't get a good sleep. And we had an early rise on Sunday. We went to go check out the Montreal Canadiens fan practice, which was an early start, 10 a.m., so we were up bright and early. On the way home, I could feel it was just after lunchtime. My eyelids were heavy. Driving back home, I could barely stay awake. I was home 10 minutes. I flopped on the couch. My wife went into bed with the little guy. And of course, my daughter just wanted to play. I said, "Sweetie, you go play. Daddy's taking a nap." And she had run into the house literally for about the next 2.5 hours.
And you just crashed out.
Oh, we all just crashed out except for her. I made sure she had a little glass of water and a little bit of food on the table. And that was it.
Awesome.
I was gone for 2 hours plus. And man, did that feel good.
Yeah, no, there's you're not wrong. There's something that a lot of the world seems to know that we don't really take advantage of here in North America. And you need naps, siestas, or whatever you want to call it in the middle of the day. It's good stuff.
Oh, it's I'd made a habit of taking little siestas at work during my lunch hour. I would I'd slip out to my Jeep and recline the seat and conk out for anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes.
I used to do that when I worked the graveyard shift. I'd take my breaks in the car and pass out for 15, 20 minutes at a time.
And it's awesome. It resets your brain, and it just sets up your afternoon to not want to kill yourself.
Complete recharge.
Completely. It's amazing. Even 10 minutes of shut-eye. You wouldn't believe it unless you actually did it. It sounds completely insane to talk about how a 10-minute nap could actually change your day, but it does.
Just while we're on topic, before we get too far off, and I know we haven't gotten into Star Wars yet, but did you hear what happened at that fan practice to that little kid?
Yeah, imagine that. A puck in the head to a one-month-old.
Unfortunate.
Mind you, it didn't come off the stick. Like the P.K. Subban was just tossing pucks into the crowd, but still, I guess a one-month-old, his dome is still pretty soft and squishy.
So yeah, unfortunately,
doesn't feel very good.
Kid spent the night in the hospital, but I did hear he was released a couple of hours ago.
Yes, the kid has been released, which is strange to me because the first part, unless the story was wrong, I'd heard that the kid was in critical but stable condition, and
less than 24 hours later, is
sent home.
I think that was misreported. I read a statement put out by the parents yesterday. And in the statement they made yesterday, they said concussion symptoms, being washed overnight, expected to be released tomorrow.
Well, that's good news. I mean, concussion is never a good thing, but sent home is definitely a good thing.
No, yeah. If they released them, I'm sure the risk isn't terribly high for a lot to go wrong from now. Time will tell. But all to say, it was funny. The media reaction was interesting. Some people, people want to blame everybody for everything. Just to me, this was just like an isolated, crazy, random occurrence. And I don't blame anybody. I don't blame P.K. Subban for trying to give pucks to fans. I don't blame parents for bringing their young kids to watch family day practice, which a lot of the people in the media seem to blame this parent for having their one-month-old at the game. Personally, I think it wasn't even a game. It was a fan practice for families, and it was the perfect time to bring your kids. So,
that whole thing is geared towards families, for people that can't ordinarily get to the Bell Center to see the Canadians. That's exactly who this is for.
Right. So it was too bad to see, in my mind, there really isn't any blame. It was just an unfortunate accident. And I'm glad the kid's okay. And maybe
total freak accident. I don't know if they're going to implement any changes because of it.
Maybe. And we tend to overreact when stuff goes wrong, but that's okay. If it was the States, we'd probably have a lawsuit, and we're a little less, and not completely different, but a little less litigious here in Canada, so I don't expect a lawsuit, but who knows?
Well, all the protective netting we see at rinks now is mostly a result of a death that happened.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Was that in Columbus about 10 years ago or so?
I think it was more than 10 years now. We're aging ourselves, but yes. But, you know, we tend to be reactive as opposed to, you know, proactive when it comes to that stuff, and it takes something bad happening for major change to come.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are tearing the parents a new one for bringing a 1 month old.
Right, which I don't blame the parents personally. I just, yes, maybe the 1 month old wouldn't understand what's going on.
Probably wasn't even awake.
But that doesn't mean it wasn't an appropriate place to have a family experience. It was an appropriate place to have a family experience. A family of all age, in my mind. I don't know if they had older kids or not, but even if they didn't, if this is something, you know, that they wanted to have the jersey and the picture and the ice and this was their way to do it, then I don't know. It's unfortunate that this had to happen, but I still don't blame them.
Yeah, no, it's a freak accident, and hopefully everybody's learned a lesson from it. Although sometime somebody's going to have their kid get hit again, so.
Oh, of course. But it could have been an icicle falling off the building on the way out too, you know, or across the street at the restaurant. And then that freaking random.
Hopefully I don't want to see the Canadians come out and change what the players can and can't do.
Right.
No more tossing pucks into the stands. Because, you know, if it was me, I would be trying to hit people in the top of the rafters.
I know what you mean.
I'd be trying to pick off the furthest person from me.
You know what? It's going to be foam pucks. The souvenir pucks are going to be foam pucks. You watch.
That, you know, that wouldn't shock me.
And me either.
Or they'll give them little bubble wrap baggies to toss the pucks into the crowd with.
Oh boy. All right. Now that we've gotten way off topic to start the show.
Hey, guess what's back this week?
I heard.
It's back, baby. The stupid fan theory of the week.
You didn't even give it. I'm not even privy to what it is. It's going to be dropped on me.
Oh, it's good. And it, hold on 1 second here. I have to pull up a message. We got some, a Facebook message from Adam in Wisconsin who, wanted us to not so much touch on the theory. Actually, he did ask us about the theory. He has two questions. We'll get to the second one later, but one is specifically the stupid fan theory of the week itself, which is that Han Solo killed himself, as in he ignited the lightsaber and took his own life for the sake of his son. Now, the gist of the theory is that Han Solo would know, he knew, of the conflict inside of his son. He knew that if he went back to Snoke not having killed Han, that Snoke would kill him. So Han took his own life to spare his sons. And we'll ignore the fact that the novelization of the book confirms that Kylo killed Han.
Right.
But does that theory make any sense to forgetting that fact? Like,
The only part of that theory that I see having any sort of credibility is I could be wrong, I'm not watching it, but I don't think I think we had a sort of a panoramic upper shot and we didn't necessarily see, the lightsaber enter Han pushed by Kylo Ren's hands. I don't think we had that shot.
No, there was never any sense of a struggle. You see Han holding it. You see Kylo, he's got his hands on it as well.
Right.
But you never see any type of resistance from either guy. You just...
It just goes through.
Yeah, suddenly, then out of the blue, the blade just impales Han.
Right. So, I mean, so they didn't show, like, a big thrust. Like, they didn't show it, right? So, this obviously spun somebody off to create this theory. But, you know, beyond the fact that they didn't show a big jabbing, lunging... impalement. I don't see the theory having any other credibility.
No, I mean Han, he didn't want to die.
basically that theory says that he knew his son was not salvageable, couldn't be saved from the dark side, but so he wanted to keep him alive to pursue his final destiny in the dark side because he loved him as a father, I guess. I don't know. It seems pretty weak to me.
Absolutely seems pretty weak. There's I mean, Leia had asked Han to bring Kylo home. But Han was, they were hightailing it out of there. There's one point where they'd planted the charges, they were on their way back to the Falcon, and then they see the X-Wings being gobbled up by TIE fighters, and Han has a change of heart saying, "We can't leave. We got a bag full of explosives. Let's use them." And at that moment is when Han basically signs his own death warrant. But until that point, he was getting out of there without even bothering with Kylo. So yeah, Han wouldn't have killed himself. He just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, no, it certainly doesn't seem to fit his character. I'm not saying he didn't love his kid, if that's his kid.
Oh, quite the opposite. I think he loved his son, but considered him too far gone. Just based on what him and Leia talked about, that he couldn't reach him. Han had realized that he couldn't reach Ben any further.
Exactly.
I think I said
if he's his father, because I haven't given up on the fact that on the idea that Ren and Rey are brother and sister. Just let's keep bringing that up every once in a while.
Yeah, we can bring that up. We got another 20 months. There's 22 months to bring that up.
Yeah, no, I haven't let go of that.
You got to cling to it now. You've pretty much pushed in all your chips on that one. So, and until something comes up to make you believe otherwise, you got to go with it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's your baby. You got to own it.
I'm riding that one to the end.
Yeah. So anyway, Han did not kill himself.
I don't think so either. Where did that theory come from?
Oh, probably Reddit. I don't know. where all crazy theories come from.
You love blaming Reddit for every bad theory, eh?
Yes. Yes. It's a safe bet. I mean, Reddit is such an active place.
No, that's true.
I have no idea how to use Reddit. I created a profile, then promptly lost my password. And since I didn't use an email address to sign up for it, they can't help me. So,
did you try password one?
Oh, I tried like 30 passwords. Like any password I can remember using in the last 3, 4, 5 years, I wrote them all down, entered them. It didn't work. I give up. So there'll be no Reddit for me. I just don't get it. And that's the way it's going to stay.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, let's play right ahead here. So last Monday, we're going back in time here, but a week ago is when they really kicked off shooting episode 8.
Right.
And I don't think anybody was expecting that little 15-second clip from Luke's little Act 2, is the planet's called?
I think you're right.
That came as a shock.
We got more, additional footage, more Luke, which, shoot, we might have had twice as much Luke in that clip as we got in the whole movie. It was super exciting. And I think it sort of shows that the production team is maybe just as excited about this whole thing as we are.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, especially with Rian Johnson behind the camera, longtime Star Wars fan. He as with Abrams, it's a fan making a Star Wars movie.
Right.
And he's obviously going to have a lot of fun teasing us.
I sure hope so.
He did it again today with an Instagram picture. It was basically just the New York Times crossword sitting on top of what to me looks like a First Order-ish looking console. But you can tell he's going to have a lot of fun snapping Instagram pics and teasing fans here and there with little glimpses of this and that from episode 8. And I can't say I blame him. I would do the same thing.
No, for sure. And when you're working on something that you're excited about, it's hard not. It's hard not to want to share it. So if you can give little pieces without giving too much away, then I think you should.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that shot, that clip that we got, is that it's not the scene from The Force Awakens just from an alternate angle. it seems pretty well confirmed that it's new footage.
I read that, and I didn't take a look to see if I could tell. And you've seen the movie more times than I have. So did you know that as you watched it? Or did you think, because I thought when I was watching, we were just getting sort of like the behind-the-scenes stuff, more of the same.
My initial reaction was that it was a different take.
Yeah,
from the Force Awakens filming.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again and again, and then I watched it again, and about five times more after that. And I guess I feel like it's new footage. And my mind had changed that it looks like it could be the same, but I think it's new. And the only reason why I thought that is because Rey seemed to be closer to Luke than at any point in the final scene of The Force Awakens.
Okay.
So, you know, that all that to say, I they could have filmed that at the same time as they were filming Episode 7. There is that rumor that we've mentioned here on the show before where Rian Johnson may have, in fact, directed that scene.
Right.
I don't know if that's true or not. I don't think we'll ever find out. Well, maybe we will.
Oh, I bet we will. I bet you that's the kind of, you know, goodie that they'll save for a Blu-ray or, you know, extra feature somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. But I it wouldn't shock me if they'd filmed this stuff a couple years ago. And they're just cutting it out and cutting it together now and putting that little snippet together. And conversely, it wouldn't shock me if this is something they just shot a couple months ago.
Well, she'd be a couple years older. I don't think it would show so much in him. But does she look 2 years older?
No, I didn't notice any real difference. Of course, I mean, it's not like you can really tell. Or maybe you would think that with the amount of gym time she's put in that maybe you would see some extra definition in her shoulders. Because I know she's...
Yeah, exactly. And, or just sometimes when your body's fitter, your face looks different.
Yeah, you kind of hold your posture a little differently. Your shoulders are further back.
Et cetera.
No, she looked pretty much the same for me. But, you know, I'll watch it again and that'll be something else I'll look for. But either way, you know, we got more – 1 day into shooting Episode 8 and we've gotten more Luke Skywalker than – the entire lead up to The Force Awakens.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Which, you know, if we consider how the marketing of The Force Awakens and Luke's presence in that reflected his role, hopefully this is, again, a sign of his participation in Episode 8. I hope he's in this movie a lot, and it makes sense that he would be. It appears that he will be, and I just hope that it turns out to be true and that Episode 8 is kind of his movie where The Force Awakens was clearly Han's movie.
On top of being each other when we can, but I totally agree with you on that one. I mean, yeah, I just want as much Luke as possible in this movie. I don't necessarily feel ripped off from the first one. It made the movie worked perfectly with keeping Luke Skywalker's appearance to the very end, and the way they ended it was pretty strong. But at the same time, I'm ready for more Luke Skywalker in a Star Wars movie.
100%. 100%. Now, what this scene really, you know, the conversation around that scene, the crux of it is this an indication that Star Wars is going to do something rather unprecedented and kick off right where the previous movie left off? Like, this looks like, if it is new footage, and this is footage that will count for Episode 8, this movie's picking up right where it left off.
Which, yeah, that would be interesting. I don't think anybody's expected that. I haven't heard anybody sort of say that's what they thought would happen. So, yeah, that'd be interesting.
I mean, I think we've talked about this before, and I thought there'd be a small time gap.
And I thought there'd be a bigger one than you.
I think. And it, you know, I can make sense either way, because if the movie picks up right where it leaves off, it kind of makes sense. Because if we all think that Luke is Rey's father, and if that turns out to be the case, then I think picking up right where you leave off makes sense. But if the movie doesn't, and it's understood that Rey and Luke spend X amount of time alone together on this island to train or whatnot. And Luke never says, by the way, you know, I'm actually your dad. If he never brings that up during the whole time that they're together, that's awkward. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I have to agree that, and you'd think being Skywalkers, they'd know. Although I guess Luke didn't know that Vader was his father, you know, before he was told. But it would seem like a very strange and awkward setup to have them, you know, train together and him never bring it up. And for her not to ask either.
Yeah, and considering where Luke comes from, where he, remember how scorned he was when he actually found out the truth about his father, how ticked off he was with Obi-Wan. Why didn't you tell me? You would think that he would have learned, or that he did learn something, and he would have come clean right off the bat. Rey, I'm your father. You know, that would have been one of the first things out of his mouth.
Right.
But I don't think that is going to be the first thing out of his mouth. And I wonder if this calls into question Rey's parentage at all.
Yet. Wow, that's, you know, probably that and Snoke are the two most talked about mysteries that they've left us with. So I don't know, will we get more clues or just more guesses as they reveal these sort of tidbits to us?
They've done a masterful job at when you think you can turn right, they make you look left and want to turn left. It's I can't put my finger on where this is going at all, which is a real credit to them for leaving so many possible avenues to go down.
Agreed.
And then, of course, the Monday, big news Monday last week wasn't done, as in the same press release where Lucasfilm confirmed that filming had begun, they officially confirmed the galaxy's worst kept secret that Benicio del Toro had been or was going to be in episode 8. They didn't reveal anything about his role, as to be expected, but they did confirm that he would be in it. And the one that caught everybody off guard, everybody, was that Laura Dern was also joining the cast, which I thought, I haven't seen Laura Dern in a long time. But she's got that face and the character of somebody who can't be anything other than good.
I know what you mean, but I thought that about Robin Williams until I saw Photoshop. Was that the movie? 1 Hour Photo?
Yes. Yeah, and he played that real creepy guy.
And he just played him so well that it... Since then, I've stopped sort of in my mind, you know, pigeonholing
typecasting people.
That look, because I'm prepared to be shocked by a really good actor, and I think Laura Dern is a good actress. So, you know, I think, although you're right, she would make a classic good guy character in the Star Wars universe. Who knows?
Yeah, you're right that they're probably, we can't do it now, and I wouldn't be able to even if I wanted to. I'd go down a list of people who, in your mind, can only be one thing. Actually, you know what? I can do it. I can do one. Ben Affleck. I think for most people, he's probably a hero or a good guy or the main protagonist. But for me, Ben Affleck is always a villain. My first exposure to Ben Affleck was in Mallrats.
Yep.
And he was such an asshole in that movie.
Yep.
Shannon Hamilton. He will always be Shannon Hamilton to me. So when we see Batman next month, forevermore, no, that's not Batman. That's Shannon Hamilton to me. He's the asshole. So
I
guess actors can do it. They can do an about face for sure. And Laura Dern certainly would not be immune to that. She's an accomplished actress, and I could totally see her. Actually, at this point, I can't see her being anything but good, but I wouldn't be surprised to see her pull off a villain.
That's what I meant. I would also expect her to be a good guy, and I think she'd, you know, do a great job either way. But if she lit up the stage and stole scenes as the villain, that wouldn't shock me either.
And we're starting to get some big names. I mean, this seems very un-Star Wars like. Usually, you know, Star Wars has always kind of cast, you know, either one big star to carry the movie, or been led by unknowns. I think back to The Phantom Menace. Liam Neeson was pulled in. Samuel Jackson was pulled in.
Ewan McGregor.
He was a rising star, I guess. He was,
yeah, he just known. Come off Trainspotting, which was really big.
Yeah. And I for Attack of the Clones, I can't recall off the top of my head if any big name actors were pulled in for that. I don't think so.
I don't think so. None that jump into my head either. Was Dooku in Phantom Menace?
No, he made his first appearance 2/3 of the way through Attack of the Clones.
So Christopher Lee would be one sort of big star, but in a small role.
Oh, and I'll be honest. I didn't at the time. I'd heard the name, but I did not know who Christopher Lee was. I mean, I knew he was also in Lord of the Rings, which was kind of staggered release date wise with
right.
with the prequels. But I didn't know who Christopher Lee was. I just knew he was some old dude who'd been in Hollywood movies for the last 50 years.
Yeah, he's I know a lot more about him now than I did before Lord of the Rings for sure. But he's super accomplished. I think he may be in the most movies. I think he's got a record for the most something anyway. Most I don't think it's dollars, but I think he might be in the most movies.
Oh, it's possible. I mean, his career is probably 70 years.
Yeah.
Had you ever heard his death metal Christmas albums?
I know of them, but no.
Oh, dude, you got to check those out. They're hilarious. And really? he is totally into it. It's not a parody. It's not him just screwing around. He's into it.
He's a legitimate artist.
I've heard
him interviewed a bunch of times, and he's a legitimate artist. Yeah. Oh. I believe that if he committed to something, he gave it 100%, including a death metal Christmas album.
Well, what always kind of blew me away about him is even a guy at his advanced age getting into Star Wars for the first time, he was so into the material. He was totally into the entire storyline. He just didn't want to show up on set, read his lines, and go home.
No, you're right, and that's I think part of what made him so great and got him, you know, made his career so long. He was the same with Lord of the Rings, although he was already a fan.
He was a longtime fan, right? Like he would know better than I would, but he was notorious as a Tolkien fan. I remember hearing him kind of quote passages of Lord of the Rings, and he would do it in accent.
Yeah, no, he was even renowned on set to have been they'd go to him if they weren't sure on certain things. Although he did make mistakes, which the fan universe never let slide. If you make a mistake on film,
oh, you get crushed.
He did make a couple of little errors, but you know didn't dot the ublots, right, kind of thing.
That's unforgivable.
Right. He's very knowledgeable, but like you said, I think that's part of what made him so great was he wanted to know about the roles he was playing, and the same thing applied to Star Wars. He found out as much as he could. And Dooku was an interesting character. I mean, for such a small amount of time on stage or on screen, you remember his scenes, and it's unfortunate in a way because of flipping around Yoda for me sort of ruins what should have been a cooler character.
Yeah, you're right. Dooku is for me one of the high points of the prequels period.
Right.
He was there was something magnetic about watching him on screen. He carried himself so well, and his costume was so perfect.
He's got that booming voice, and yeah, he definitely commands the screen when he's on it.
Yeah, it's a total shame that we didn't get more of him. Although I wonder if less is more in this case.
Often, you're probably right.
So we got a lot more of him in the Clone Wars cartoon. And it was always nice when he was around, but it wasn't the same. obviously it wasn't Christopher Lee, but it right. still wasn't the same. Just that 6'3" or whatever Christopher Lee was, he just stood so tall above everybody. He was just such a great presence in those prequels. I wish we'd gotten more.
Yeah, I have to agree.
And so we fast forward and plow ahead a week to today, and we got another bit of casting news. And this one, are you a Game of Thrones guy?
I'm not. I haven't seen a single episode.
Same here. Actually, I saw the first episode, and I wasn't blown away, so I never went back. But there's a lady, Swedish lady, I believe. Is that her name? Birgit Hjort Sorensen. That sounds Swedish, right?
Sure.
She's been cast into episode 8. So I guess Game of Thrones fans are stoked. And she joins Gwendolyn Christie and Mox von Sydow and Jessica Henwick as other Game of Thrones alum to have crossed over to Star Wars.
Yeah, it seems, I guess the Disney is smart. And if they've got control as much as I think they probably do, then it doesn't surprise me that they're signing big names. It doesn't surprise me that they're signing on, I don't want to say characters from the Nerdiverse, but I guess that's what I'm going to say. You know?
No, it makes sense.
It's a similar fandom.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of overlap.
So, you know, go with what you know.
Yeah, I think anything, I mean, Game of Thrones is such a hot commodity that anything that comes out of that is already, you know, smelling like roses. So now to attach that to Star Wars, you get the double whammy of good vibes.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll take it as good news. I haven't seen anybody kind of cry about this. So, hey.
No, and I expect to like Game of Thrones. Like I said, I haven't seen an episode, but it's not for sort of lack of interest. It sounds interesting to me. I'll grab a whole bunch all at once. I sort of binge watch it. We talked about this on the show once, but binge watch through series, and I'll do the same with Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I may get to it one day. I have a 1 terabyte hard drive that has about 50 movies on it and a dozen or so TV shows with multiple seasons on it. And I just can't get to these shows. I just can't make time for them.
I know exactly what you mean. Well, the problem with us is we like sports.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Here I am right now as we do this show. I'm watching on mute the Canadians' post game. I'm not getting anything out of this. I can't hear a word that Michel Therrien is saying, and I don't think I want to hear what he's saying. But again, it's like you said, live sports, there's so many of them that they gobble up any amount of time, especially during hockey season for us.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not watching the post-game show, but Terry is probably praising Subban.
Well, if he's smart, he would be.
If he's smart, he would be, exactly.
I don't know how smart he is, though.
It doesn't really even matter how Subban played. He's going to praise him for something. He sort of has to.
That whole thing from last week, I rarely have I seen an incident make fandom's blood boil. I can only think of really one other time, and that's when Chara broke Pacioretty's neck.
Yeah, that's the last time I sort of saw so many angry Canadians fans, I agree.
And there's a lot of, yeah, I mean, that at least that anger was directed outward to the Bruins where it belongs. You know, there was a lot of friendly fire here.
Oh yeah,
Therrien was on people's hit list to begin with.
He certainly isn't overperforming.
Talking about the coach?
Yes.
No, he is not. He has not been overperforming. He has been almost totally exposed this year.
I try not to call for the coach's head when the team goes on a losing streak, because that's just the easy way out, and too many franchises just sort of do that because that's what you do when you're not playing well.
Yep. It's easier to trade the coach or fire the coach than trade 23 players.
Right. So that happens too often. But in this case, I'm starting to think his time may be up.
Right. And I was in the same place here that I didn't call for his head. I didn't like a lot of his decisions, but I also felt like he did some things right. But after this, that was sort of the final straw. You can't do that. He's the only guy that's been playing for you all year.
He's a defenseman that leads the team in points.
That shouldn't happen. as good as Subban is, that shouldn't happen.
Of course not. And the one thing that really bothers me about the criticism on Subban is people want him to be defensively responsible, but they don't want him to stop doing all the really exciting things he does, which you can't have it both ways. You can't expect the guy to play 30 plus minutes and be defensively responsible. Tighten him up.
You can't bottle a guy like Subban.
You can't. He's a unique player, and the fans love the stuff he does that makes him unique. Unfortunately, he still makes some mistakes, which is part of what comes with that package.
You can't pay him $9 million and ask him to not take any chances.
No, and if you wanted him to have better stats, play him 22 minutes a game. If you played him 22 minutes a game, his defensive stats would be fantastic.
Yeah. They already pretty much are. Just people, it depends on how you contextualize the data that's available out there. Like he leads the league in turnovers. And so people jump all over that stat.
Right.
And there's two ways to slice that stat: by looking at his ice time, which is way up there, and then comparing amount of turnovers compared to the amount of times he touches the puck.
Exactly. And he's the quarterback. He's got the puck
all the time.
Than any defenseman in the league.
He always has the puck, and he's been on the ice for over 60% of the Canadiens' goals this year. Think about that.
Yeah, there you go.
That's insane.
Right. He does play in every scenario.
Yeah, he is the backbone of this team without Price right now.
Yes.
Anyway, there's another hockey aside. So they're going to start shooting soon. There's some video that came out today, some images from Dubrovnik. But you could see them sort of fixing up some street side shops, decking them out Star Wars style, or what is going to be Star Wars style. And the coolest thing about this story is the fact that they have drones to take out spy drones. If that makes any sense to you.
It does.
Which I think is so cool, because that was a big problem during the Force Awakens shooting. The fans would bring drones over to the Greenham Common set in England, and they'd fly their drone over the set, snap a bunch of pictures, and then post them to the web. So we saw the set of the full-size Millennium Falcon. We saw X-Wings. We saw the bunk or the hangars. All these things taken by drone photos and videos.
Right.
Which was pretty novel use by fans. I'll give the fans points for that. But
Kyle, I just recently watched some drone racing on, I guess, YouTube or similar.
Yeah, that looks really rad.
I didn't realize that these machines could move like this. They're really impressive. So when you say to me drones that are going to take out drones, I've got this image in my head that's probably as cool as some of the stuff they're going to shoot in Star Wars.
I hope so. But I think it's awesome that they've invested a little more cash in security this time around. I hope that some fan decides to test it and flies his drone over the set, and then.
Oh, of course. People are going to buy drones just to have them shot down by the Star Wars drone.
You're right, eh? Because, I mean, drones are not expensive. You can go find a drone for 30, 40 bucks.
Exactly.
Someone's going to start. The guy who did the potato salad Kickstarter should go and just say, help me buy a bunch of drones. I'm going to fly them all over the Dubrovnik set.
See how many they can take down at once. We'll send it 100 at a time.
Yeah, and see what happens, right? See how many. See how serious Lucasfilm is about this security drone initiative they've got going.
I hope we're putting ideas into someone's head.
You mean being a bad influence?
I hope so. Not a pursuable influence, just a bad influence.
We don't advocate breaking the law.
You know, no, certainly not.
Just maybe stretching it, and above all, having fun. Some good, clean fun, right?
Agreed. we're not advocating anything but having fun.
I mentioned a second ago the potato salad Kickstarter guy.
Yes.
Do you ever remember how that ended up?
Yeah, he donated all the money, didn't he?
I don't know. I was following it almost on a daily basis for a while, and then I lost track of how much money they had and what he was going to do with the money. I mean, he had tens of thousands of dollars.
I feel like he donated most of the money.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll look it up for you as we're chatting here.
I hope he did. I hope he did something hilarious with it.
I'm sure he ate a lot of potato salad.
I think he was over 50K at one point.
I think that's the number I have too in my head.
That's a lot of potato salad, dude. Because they were going to pull in professional chefs to help come up with recipes, and then they just ended up with way more money than they thought they'd ever get.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. He got up to $55,000.
$55,000.
Yeah, Zach Danger Brown. And it looks like he donated to the... It just doesn't say to who. But yeah, it looks like he gave it away.
He just didn't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah, it's post-fundraising hangover, it says here he had. And yeah, he said it was just easier to get rid of it.
So basically he got in over his head.
Yeah, everybody was telling him what he should be doing with it. And
yeah, he just kicked the can down the road. Didn't want to bother with having to follow through, so.
Although it doesn't, this is the second article I'm reading through as we look at it. There's no official, like, it doesn't say who he gave it to. He just keeps saying, like, I'm going to do the most I can with it. I'm going to give it. Who knows what this guy did?
He's suddenly driving around in a convertible.
Yeah.
What?
It's a hybrid. I'm helping the world.
Hey, on the topic of people who always look to play a certain role, i.e. Laura Dern can't be anything but good. Mads Mikkelsen. You're familiar with Mads Mikkelsen?
I'm not.
So he was the villain in Casino Royale?
Yes.
And he was on, more recently, he was Hannibal?
Yep.
So there's a guy who I don't know a ton about, but to me, he's always a villain.
Agreed.
But apparently he's not a villain in Rogue One, which is going to be one of those hard to get used to. I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the guy that well, but, and I'm sure he's an accomplished actor.
He's a Hans Gruber character to me. So you're like, in my mind, you're right. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a perfect comparison. He's always in my mind going to be, whatever his face was, Le Chiffre.
Yes.
So he's always going to be that guy from Casino Royale. And to see him not play a villain, I guess that doesn't mean he's going to be a hero in Rogue One.
True.
Necessarily. But to see him not be bad is going to be strange. And I'm getting more and more excited for Rogue One as we inch closer now. We're under 300 days. But the more I hear about the movie, the more excited I get.
Yeah, I can't say that my excitement is growing or waning.
I guess you're going to have to wait to see the trailer.
Yeah, probably.
I think once the trailer drops, I think then it becomes a lot more real.
And it just seems so far away still. It's like still next year in my mind. I know you said 300 days, but...
Yeah, end of the year.
Yeah.
End of this year. So, it's. I mean, it's on its way. It's still... I mean, we got the rest of this winter to deal with, and we got a whole summer to look forward to, the whole fall season. So yeah, it's still the better part of a year away, which when you think about it, when we sliced up The Force Awakens for almost 3 years, and in this case, we barely have to wait one.
That's true. That's a good way to look at it.
So it's going to go quick. Hopefully it goes quickly. Not that I'm in any rush to get older faster. But Rogue One's going to be here before we know it. And then originally, of course...
Right. It's Christmas. The next thing you know, it's always Christmas, so...
Yeah, and then originally, 6 months after that, we were going to get Episode 8, but that's not going to be the case anymore.
No, unfortunately.
But to help us buy the time, we're going to get The Force Awakens on Blu-ray. And I think the date is sort of crystallizing now. It's either going to be April 5th or 15th. I wish Star Wars would come out, or Lucasfilm would come out and confirm one way or the other. But it seems like more and more sites, retail sites, Blu-ray.com, they're starting to get more solid info posted about the details of the set, which it's going to be a three-disc set.
Yeah, I heard that. I read that. I don't know if you sent me a link or if I stumbled onto it myself, but that would, it's not that long a movie that it makes me think there's probably a lot of extra of extras behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a full disc of extra features, which is amazing. I hope we get every single deleted scene that they cut from the movie.
Right.
And there was a small featurette, or at least a clip from a featurette today posted about John Williams and making the soundtrack after so many years of not having to deal with these movies. And as a Star Wars soundtrack junkie, I hope there's as much John Williams insight as we can get.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, 100%. I think John Williams is, as legendary as he is, I think through his music you could probably learn as much about Star Wars as you could learn by sitting with George Lucas. I think the conversations he's had through the years with everybody.
I'm sure, I'm sure his perspective would be as entertaining at least as anybody's.
And at 84 years old, he seems as sharp as ever. And he seems like just the coolest guy that you'd want to sit down and just pick his mind.
Is he 84?
Yeah, he had his 84th birthday last week or 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And he's still going strong. I hope he sticks.
Well, when I grow up, I want to be John Williams then.
I hope he sticks around long enough to at least see through this trilogy.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, no reason to think he won't.
Yeah, he seems to be in. Well, he had some health issues during The Force Awakens, and he did not score the entire soundtrack. There was another guy who did three or four of the songs on the soundtrack, okay, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully his health, stays strong and he can continue doing what he does. I mean, at some point, the baton is going to have to be passed. That much is clear. But hopefully he can remain healthy enough and strong enough at least to see episodes 7, 8, and 9 through.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Yeah, here's hoping for sure. Now we got, I mentioned before, we had a listener question from Adam on Facebook.
Right.
He had a two-part question. So one was, of course, related to the stupid fan theory of the week, which I think we tackled and dogpiled. And the second part is that he's predicting that Rey is going to be an Immaculate Conception and wants our thoughts and wants us to stay warm, us being up in the cold. Which, of course, in Wisconsin, he's no stranger to. So, Adam, I hope you're bundled up too, buddy.
You're right back at him. Actually, we've had it really easy this winter. It's been mild, so nothing to complain about. I've heard the Immaculate Conception theory before. I don't think it's crazy.
No.
I certainly wouldn't put it into the stupid fan theory pile.
Maybe we did, but if we did, then it was just because we needed something there. Because now, I guess we reserve the right to change our minds. But
well, and not just that. You can't call it crazy or stupid just because they've done it already. It's not, it's not a theory that comes out of nowhere. The reason I say I don't buy into it is because I'll feel duped in that I feel like they gave us enough clues pointing to Rey having actual parents, and never once do I feel like there was a clue, unless Adam pointed something else or there's something that you've read. But there was. Did you hear a hint in the movie of that possibility?
No.
That she was spawned by the Force.
There's nothing. No, I don't think there's anything in the movie.
So,
well, there's that conversation, right? There, when she has, after she has her Force vision, after touching the lightsaber, she's has that conversation with Maz Kanata, and I think there's some meat on the bone in that conversation. If you know, we've talked about, and I think we've halfway convinced ourselves that Luke is her father.
Yes, I'm 60% there.
But there's
maybe even 80.
There's stuff in that conversation that you could easily construe to disprove that. And I think one of the lines that Maz says is that the belonging that you're seeking is not behind you, it's ahead of you. So if the belonging she's seeking is not behind her, then I don't know if Luke is really part of her past. Otherwise, that statement kind of doesn't make sense.
Well, it's all about what she means when she says that. Does she mean, because the movie sort of says, is it Han or is it Luke? Right? And you've already met Han.
Yeah, so he's come and gone. He's out.
It's not that dude. It's someone you haven't met yet. Well, since you were a really little kid. Is that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it depends. You could apply a vague statement like that to a couple different scenarios, and it changes a lot what it might mean.
Yeah, you're right. And again, we've said this 1,000 times, but it seems like every word has been calculated to lead us right to these points.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
It's really impressive. Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams, man, I don't know how you can spin such a yarn that you confuse everybody. Like, here I was convinced that Luke was her father, but now you think about what Ma said to her, and I wonder if he's not.
Yeah, there's certainly a possibility, you know. There's the Kenobi theory, which holds a little bit of water for me. And
again, couple that with the scene.
Crazy.
Couple that with the scene from the 15-second clip from Episode 8, where they appear to be picking up right where they left off. And, of course, nothing has to go the way I say, but it really doesn't make sense if they're going to be spending time together and he doesn't just come out and say that I'm your father, which would make for it would make sense from Luke's perspective, but would make for a pretty crappy reveal in a movie.
Yeah, it loses a lot of its. They set up a lot of dramatic potential for that reveal. So to just have him say, you know, oh hi, nice to meet you. By the way, I'm your dad. Is a lot less dramatic than a lot of the other scenarios they can work in there.
Yeah, you think they would build that up to be one of the big moments of the trilogy. And for him to just mention it, oh, by the way, I'm glad you tracked me down because I'm your pappy.
Yeah. And so she's immaculately conceived. I'm gonna sit on that. We're going to talk about that again next week.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm not opposed to it. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I certainly don't think it's nuts.
No, I don't either. And it's so hard. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to put all your eggs into, you know, there's so many baskets right now. And I've already sort of set my heels down and said that Rey and Ren are brother and sister. So I don't want to commit myself to parentage, but I'm certainly leaning strongly towards Luke still.
Yeah, I think it would, jeez. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Like, there's too much, like I said, there's too much pointing to Luke. And that, you know, I wonder if that in itself is sort of a red flag. In that they want you to think this, but it's really that.
Yeah, so sometimes the obvious choice is too obvious.
Yeah. Very possibly. So what else have we got here? Hey, nothing, man. We're done.
Monday night, unusual.
Yeah, it's all right. Kind of feels like a Sunday.
Yeah, it does.
But how do you feel about maybe doing a Force Awakens commentary track next week?
I think it's perfect timing.
I think the timing might line up for that. I think people are I think there's a lot of people who haven't seen the movie in quite some time, and they might dig a little play by play here.
That'll give us something to do, and we'll have fun doing it anyways.
Yeah, so we can plan for that for next week. We'll have to set aside a good 2.5 hour block of time at some point, but looks like the end of February episode is going to be the first of the 7 commentary tracks we lay down over the course of the year. So I'm committing to that idea.
Awesome.
Nice. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. You have just taken in episode 12 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. And we want to thank you all for your time once again. And a big thank you to James. Thank you, buddy, for stepping in once again.
Always fun, Kyle. I always enjoy doing the show.
Awesome. And again, everybody, we want to point your URLs to YouTube and check out the wonderful stylings of Marcos Kaiser, who released a video today of Johnny Be Good, which is, again, his work is awesome. So go check him out. And be sure to subscribe to us in iTunes and leave us a review and help us grow the show that way. Be sure to join us on Facebook. You can post your questions there and we'll get some discussion going. And of course, we are on what's that thing called with the tweets? The Twitter machine. There you go. And tumblingsaber.com is the website. So thank you all once again for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with a big fat episode of the Force Awakens commentary. So until then, have a good week, guys. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.